Appreciate the good singing, amen. His mind was about a church, was the music here at Calvary Baptist Tabernacle. I appreciate the faithfulness of our pianist and then the family singing. I think Brother Riley is doing a wonderful job. Appreciate all that Brother Jerry has done through the years. And it's good to be a part of the family of God. I got saved back in 60 and became a part of the Calvary Baptist Church in Lakeland, Florida. I was there until 67. I left there and went to Tennessee Temple Schools, became a member of the Highland Park Baptist Church. Dr. Robertson was my pastor. I went back to my home church, spent 2.5 years under the ministry of Dr. Buffington, and then the Lord directed me to a pastorate. I was almost 15 years in Thomasville, Georgia, and then I was in Tallahassee, Florida from 1988 to 2001, and I look back now and I see how God has directed me, and I'm grateful for the family of God, and it's a wonderful privilege to be a member of a good church, but there's also a great responsibility that goes with it, and I'm fearful that sometimes we bypass our responsibility. If everybody lived their life and supported this church just like you do, what kind of church would we have? Amen. Thankful for Dr. Wells' ministry. I had the privilege of being with him in meeting last week, and it was great to hear him preach the Word of God and to fellowship together. And then I'm grateful that God brought Brother Ledbetter here. They're different style, different type of ministry, but they're both God's men. And I'm grateful. You see, I do not take for granted the fact of the support, your prayer support, financial support that helps us along the way. And so I say amen to the song, I have no regrets, and I have no retreats, and I'm satisfied in doing what God's given to do. Lord willing, we'll leave tomorrow morning to go to Conestoga, South Carolina for 2 days, and then the next weekend, we'll be with a young man and a young lady that just got married, Brother Dalton Key. I remember those days. I had the privilege of ordaining his dad, Brother Reese, and my church in Tallahassee. So I've known the family for a long, long time. I'm thrilled at the opportunity to get to be there Sunday morning and be with Brother Ricky Anderson on Sunday night. And then we travel back home. And I go back to Gray, Georgia for 4 days in Gray, Georgia in a Jubilee meeting. And I come back home and I go to Kannapolis, North Carolina for two different churches. And then I go back to Albany, Georgia for a Faith Promise Mission Conference. And then I go back from here to there and from here to there and from here to there. I'm grateful for the goodness of the Lord, and I pray this prayer. I pray that God would keep me usable. I want to be used of God. And I'm thankful for every opportunity. This day is a special day when a special honor is given to mothers. I'm not going to preach on that tonight, but I wanted to reference it. The Bible said, honor thy father and thy mother. That's a biblical command. And the homes of America are not near what they used to be, because they've forsaken God's word, forsaken God's house. But I have memories of my mom. 51 years ago, she passed away at the age of 53. And she suffered with cancer for 20 years. I remember the day that I went to my home place, and my mom was so weak she couldn't stand. So I took her in my arms and walked out down the front steps through the front gate and placed her in the back seat of my automobile, took her to the hospital, and I stayed with her on Labor Day weekend. It was just a few days after I took her. Stayed with her all night that night, And somehow the Lord confirmed in my heart that he was going to take her. And so I stayed till daybreak the next morning. My older sister met me, and I left there, and it was probably less than 4 miles. I went to our residence, and my sister was on the phone when I walked in the front door. She said, our mom just passed away. I expect to see my mom again in glory. And my wife's mom was killed when she was 7 years old, so that's 73 years ago. And I never met her mom, but I will meet her in glory. I'm thankful for a good wife and for her being a good mother to our child. I'm interested tonight in the Gospel of John. And if you'll note with me the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John. And I want to begin reading in verse number 20 of John's Gospel. And if you would stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. The Bible said in verse 20, And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same therefore came to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. I'm interested in verse number 26 in particular, and I'd like to preach tonight on serving the Lord. The Bible said, if any, and by the way, that's choice. That's a personal choice. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And you think of the fact of how God the Father will honor you for your service. We're not doing what we do for the accolades of man. We're not doing what we do to be seen of man or to be complimented by men. We do what we do for the glory of the Lord Jesus. It was Paul who said, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And so I want to share a few little thoughts tonight about serving the Lord. Would you pray with us? Lord Jesus, I love you. Thank you for the day that you passed by our way. Thank you, dear Lord, for the fact that you loved us and you died in our place on Calvary that we might have life and have it more abundant. I do pray tonight for he, the Holy Spirit's liberty. I pray that you might breathe upon us as you did the disciples in the upper room. We do ask, Lord, that you might manifest your power and presence in our midst. May this be profitable time. I do pray that you'd bless your men across this country today that will preach the word of God tonight. And I ask that you might give the increase. We do pray that you'd have mercy upon our country. And Lord, we pray for Israel and for the peace of Jerusalem. I pray, dear Lord, that you might do what men cannot do and give us liberty, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may take your seats. In our verse, our text verse, if any man serve me, let him follow me. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. I'm grateful that he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I'm his own. The Bible said in the book of Romans 8 and 9, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And then he said in verse 14, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. I'm grateful that when I got saved, the Holy Ghost moved in. He's a gift of God for every believer. And by the way, I got all the Holy Ghost that I'll ever have the night I got born again by the grace of God. Our problem tonight is that the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, does not have all of us. We want to give God partial, but we don't want to give him all. I'm going to say to you, it'll be a grand, grand day in your life if you come to the place where you surrender your all to the Lord without any exceptions, without any deals being made, simply giving yourself to the Lord. But I want to remind us again, that it is a choice. It's that you exercise your volition as to whether or not you serve the Lord, a personal choice. If any man serve me, and so it is this. We must understand the great difference between between salvation in the Lord and serving the Lord. Listen, we got saved one time, and that's forever. Amen. There's people today that are troubled about their relationship with Christ. But when you get saved, that old account is settled long ago, and we're the children of God by faith. But see, there's a difference between salvation in the Lord and serving the Lord. So we got saved because we yielded to the Spirit of God who drew us to Christ, who wooed us to the Savior, and we got born again. We was birthed into the family by the Holy Ghost of God. We was convicted by the Spirit of the living God. We were placed into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. That's Spirit baptism. And then again, we are fitted for service by the Spirit of God. I said before, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, God is preparing us today for what he has prepared for us tomorrow. And I want to say, I bless his name tonight for the way God has guided, how God has protected, how God has met my need providentially. Amen. There's things that I wasn't aware of that God was doing. And I look back and I say, blessed be the name of God. I'm glad that God didn't answer that prayer. I'm glad that God routed me around that pitfall. And by the way, the devil does his best to set traps to ensnare us along the way that he might, listen, alter our mission. Our mission is to glorify God. Our mission is not just to be seen of men. It's not just going through motions. It's a matter of dedicating ourselves without reservation to the one who died for us on Calvary. And so I see this. Salvation brings us into the family of God, but service we choose. God has never made one person repent. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I'm saying, listen, there will never be anybody that will go to heaven that didn't want to go to heaven. We get so attached to this world that we lose sight about what God has planned for us just over the next hill, just around the next curve, just beyond the next turn in the road. And so when we're saved, we desire to be saved. That's how I wanted to get saved. Nobody made me do anything. I'm saying I want to get saved. That's a matter of God working in me. And as he worked in me, he gave me that urgency of committing my soul to the Lord. Now, my soul got saved June 14, 1960. But my body, my flesh didn't get saved. It's just as wicked as it ever was. And so I'm reminded when saved, we desire to be saved. And the same goes for serving the Lord. And by the way, don't you want to do something for God? Something that will outlast time itself? I don't want to just mark time. Don't want to just go through the motions. Don't want to just preach sermons. I want to do something for God that will last beyond time. And that God might be glorified in. And so when saved, we desire to be saved. Same goes for serving the Lord. It is his love that sends us, to serve him. It is not the lashes from a hard taskmaster, but it's the love of God that's been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. And so there are conditions to meet in serving the Lord. First on our part, there must be a choice for service. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve God. And so we're not just treading water. We're not just going through most. We're serving God. We're doing what we do for the... And by the way, if it's not for the glory of God, you ought to stop it. You ought to change some gears if it's not for the glory of God. But in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, the Bible tells us that no man can serve two masters. I meet people who want to have one foot in the church and another foot in the world. And by the way, that's a dangerous place to be. Fence straddlers get in trouble real quick. I'm saying to you, God help us to determine to do what we do for the glory of the Lord. And we make wise choices. We've served the Lord. I way back yonder in my in my early days as a Christian, the Spirit of God put a want to in my heart to do something for the Lord. Now, I'm not anything, but He's everything. But I look back and I see how God has worked in situations, and God has worked through circumstances, and God has manifested Himself, and people have been saved, and folks have been called into the ministry, and folks are serving today because they made the right choice. No one forced them to do it. They did that because, and by the way, if you're doing what you did just because the preacher preached that's right, listen, you ought to be doing it for a better reason than that. I'm saying to you, I want to respect my pastor, my leader, but I want to remind you that I'm accountable to God first. I submit to Him. And by the way, if I'm submitted to God, I won't have any problem being submitted to my pastor or my leader. Amen. Y'all all right? I'm saying, if we're going to serve God, there's a choice made in service, but we serve God with a clean heart for service. Notice, if you would, please, in the book of First Chronicles, chapter 28, and let's see if I can find First Chronicles, chapter number 28, and the Bible reads this way. In First Chronicles, chapter number, well, I've already passed over into Second Chronicles. I better back up a little bit. First Chronicles, chapter 28. Didn't mark it, and let's see, chapter 28, and let's look at verse number 9, 1 Chronicles 28. Here's what the Bible said. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve Him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek Him, He will be found of thee. But if thou forsake Him, He will cast thee off forever. That's what my Bible said. And so I serve God. We're going to serve God. Personal choice. I have to decide to do that. Have to surrender to do that. And then in a matter, I do that with a clean heart for service. But then I do it also with complete confidence in God. I could reference the book of Daniel chapter 17 and verse number 18. Let's look at the book of Acts chapter 27. In Acts 27, this is the Apostle Paul. And he said in Acts 27 and verse number 23, he said it this way, Acts 27 and verse 23. He said, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. This is a time when Paul is shipwrecked on the sea. And so it's a matter of doing this. We're serving God with complete confidence. I know this. I know that God never made a promise that He cannot fulfill. I know this. Just because I didn't see it accomplished yesterday doesn't mean that God's not going to accomplish it. It's a matter of God operates by His timetable and not my timetable. And so again, it's a matter, I'm serving God with a clean heart. I've made a wise choice. I've said, listen, as far as I'm concerned, we're going to serve God. We don't have to vote about whether we're going to be in church the next service or not. We don't have to vote about whether we're going to read our Bible. It's a matter of a choice we made. We have complete confidence in our God. And then we consider the cost of service. If you're going to serve God, it's going to cost you. And I find that in the 14th chapter of Luke and verse number 28. And let's read that, Luke chapter 14 and verse number 28. And the Bible reads this way, Luke chapter 14. And verse number 28. And the Bible said this. He said, for which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether we have sufficient to finish it? And so we're planning, we're looking forward, we're weighing it out, we're considering the cost of service. I'm going to say, if it's serving God costs you something, but if you don't serve Him, it's going to cost you something too. And so, again, we do it with a constraining love. In the book of Galatians chapter 5, and note with me Galatians 5 and verse number 13 of Galatians chapter number 5. And Galatians 5 and verse 13, the Bible said, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Here's again that matter of of serving one another by love. And again, we serve in complete harmony in our turning from God. That was illustrated in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9. They turn to God from their idols. They turn from their sin. They turn to God. But in chapter 12 of John in verse 26, he said, if, that's a qualifying word, just a two-letter little word, what a great impact it's had. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Are you following the Lord? If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, and by the way, he's suggesting the fact that we're not in this thing alone. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. That's what the Bible said. And so I find that we see the Savior's presence. He said, where I am, there shall also my servant be. What a promise. What a promise. I get to preach in different churches along the way, preach on different subjects and different type meetings, but it's a honor to, but God, listen, I want to sense the presence of God. And I confess to you, there's been many times in my life that I've sought to be a help to others that I don't sense the presence of God, but I'm reminded this, whether I sense him or not, he's with me. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so I'm saying, what a promise. Hebrews 13, he said, I'll never leave you. And so these truths were evident in the lives of those who served God in the past as well as now. And so I say that he was with Moses in the wilderness. God got Moses' attention on the desert and the fact when the bush was on fire. I thought I'd remind you that the fire was not in the bush. The bush was in the fire. And God got Moses' attention. And so he's with Moses. He's with Joshua during the time of war. He's with Elijah's servant in a time of weakness. He's with David when wild animals attacked him. He's with Mary and Martha when Lazarus has died. He's with them in their sorrow and their great need. He's with the disciples when they were on the troubled sea and their lives were threatened. He's with the early church when the world opposed them. He's with Paul when he was wrecked on the ship upon the seas. With John on the wasteland of Patmos. I'm saying he'll be with his servants wherever he sends them. Are you listening? He's with his servants wherever he sends them. And so the missionary that goes to the foreign field. He's there alone, but it's not alone. The Lord is with him. And by the way, I'm saying this, wherever he sends us, he will be with us. And so if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. I want the Lord to honor what I do for him. And so, could anything be greater than to have God our Father? Are you listening? God our Father. Honor our efforts to serve him. I'm afraid sometimes we allow others, the thoughts and the impressions of others, to hinder us in what we do or what we don't do for God. And by the way, we don't answer to people, we answer to God. Amen. And so could anything be greater than to have God our Father honor our efforts to serve him? And so by that, we develop the heart of this study. And so if you'll notice with me, God will honor those who faithfully follow him. That's what the Bible said. And so he will honor you with his faithfulness. I'm glad that God is faithful, even though I'm unfaithful. I'm glad that God is faithful to me. He's faithful. He's faithful. Are you marking it down? He's faithful to reveal his will for my life. And if he reveals his will for my life, he's not going to reveal his will for your life to me, but he will reveal his will for your life to you. I'm grateful that it's a personal thing. He's faithful to reveal his will. And so I say that his will to those who walk in the light, to those who walk in his love, to those who walk in his liberty, the light of the scriptures, the love of his son, the liberty of the spirit. And so he's saying, if any man serve me, him will my father honor. Young and old, one of the most frequently asked questions is, how can I know God's will for my life? Could I tell you, God has a will for your life. And God will reveal. He's faithful to reveal his will to you. I knew it was God's will for me to be a member of Calvary Baptist Tabernacle before I ever left Tallahassee, Florida. That was confirmed in my heart. And by the way, that doesn't make me anything. That makes God the one who makes, he said, I will honor them who serve me. Any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And so I want to know the will of God for my life, and God wants me to know his will for my life. If the Lord is calling you to be in a certain ministry, and he does, God places in certain men. But I want to qualify and be careful. Listen. I do not believe God ever calls anybody to a pastor or pulpit ministry that's not qualified. I'm in an awkward position because of some decisions that some of my brethren have made in relation to the qualification. God's qualifications for servants has not changed. And so I'm to be faithful to I want the will of God for my life. And so if the Lord's calling us for a certain ministry, I said for years before, I pastored almost 30 years, but I said for years, God will me be an evangelism. I made that announcement at Highland Park Baptist Church and my home church. But then God put me in his will. God put me in the pastorate. And then God moved me from one church to the other in his will. God has a plan and a purpose for life. If the Lord's calling you to a certain ministry, he without a doubt will give you a desire born of God to do it. It'll be like a fire shut up in your bones. It'll be something you can't escape from. This is what God wants me to do. Amen. And so he said, if any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. And so God has a will for our life, and God gives us a want to do it. That's the verse in the book of Philippians chapter 2 that I refer to so often, verse 12, where he said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God gives us a want to. The desire will not go away. It'll be born as a fire within you. And so the love of Christ constraineth us, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14. And so he does what? He gives us direction. Providentially, he gives us directions for our life. And then there's times when God speaks directly to us. He speaks directly to us from the word of God. Ezekiel chapter 3 verse 18 and 19. Son of man, I've made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. And we're to give out the message. And Jeremiah spoke of God speaking to him personally. The apostle Paul likewise. And so God will not only honor you by revealing his will. He does it by revealing his word. He does what? He reveals by revealing his word. I read my Bible, And I run across a passage that I have some question about and something I don't understand. And so I pull a commentary down, and I find out that fellow didn't know him a thing more than I do. But one of these days I'm reading the Word of God, and I'm praying, and he, the Holy Spirit, enlightens me. It's not new. It's just new to me. Amen. I'm grateful that he opens up the scriptures. That's why the psalmist said, open thou mine eyes and I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And we know this, that the scripture said the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God for their foolishness. He cannot know them. He's insensitive to the Word of God. He thinks it's foolishness. He's tasteless as far as the things of God. He's ignorant of God's Word. So don't be too hard on those folk who don't know the Lord and don't receive the Word of God. That's exactly where we were until God birthed a want to in our heart and opened up the Scripture. It's like God opened the heart of Lydia that she might get saved down the riverbank. It's God who saved the Philippian jailer. It's God who saved that demon-possessed girl. Each one of them saved by the grace of God, but a different emphasis on each one of the conversions. I come back to this. The lost man, when our lives are dedicated to serve the Lord, we have the promise of the Spirit concerning God's word. It comes back to this. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." I'm glad that I can hear his voice. We might not be able to see all the way, but we can hear his voice. And so concerning the word of God, my sheep hear my voice. He leads by his word. He leads us by his word. I'm where I am, doing what I'm doing because of his word. And so he burned that in my heart. He directs my step. And I say he leads by the word as a shepherd leads his sheep by his voice. In Psalm 119 verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my path, and it is a light unto my feet. The word will bring us to maturity. That's why we need to study the word of God. We need to compare scripture with scripture. We're to see what God has to say about it. And by the way, God's word hadn't changed. If it was wrong 50 years ago, it's still wrong tonight. If it was the right thing to do 25 years ago, it's still the right thing to do today. I'm saying church is vitally important for us, but he reveals his will by his word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against. But then he also mentions the wonders of God. In the book of Psalm 19, verse number 1, the Bible said, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." In John chapter 1, he talks about all things were made by him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. And I'm saying this. Here's a picture. Here's a picture of that's painted by God the Holy Spirit. And so the provision he provides for us, Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." There's the power of his presence. Brother Jack's mentioned it tonight, the matter of sensing the presence of God. I'm telling you, I'm grateful. I'm grateful when God manifests himself in such a way that there's no doubt in our mind that God's moving, God's doing things. And as a preacher of the word of God, sometimes God gives the pastor, the preacher, some discernment as he sees the word of God going out, and some folks are rebelling against it, but some folk are receiving the word of God, and you see that the brightness of their face as it lights up when it dawns on them what God said. Is he saying that to me? And so I want God to speak to my heart. And so I see the power of his presence in our witness. Have you sensed the presence of God in your life through your witness? As Satan is defeated, strongholds of the devil are torn down, souls are saved, servants are sent, saints are settled. He is faithful to his saints. And so I see this. He has promised, "I will come to thee, I will not leave thee." I'm grateful God honors us by his faithfulness to reveal. He also does it. Listen, he sends us into the fields that are ripe already to harvest. He said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest field." I'm saying he sends us into the fields that are already ripe for harvest, Ephesians 4:7. And so it's a proclaiming ministry. It is a praying ministry. It is a providing ministry. And God honors us by his faithfulness to reveal. He sends us into the fields to reap. He does it by promising that fruit will remain. John 15, 16, he said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. And I say to you, in the book of 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, he said, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't fall out. Don't fall in. Stay steady doing what God's left you here to do. I'm saying to you, we're to work, for the night is coming when no man can work. We ought to do what we can while we can, so that when we cannot, we'll not wish we would have when we could have, as Stennett Ballou would say. I'm saying, listen, he promises us fruit that will remain. In Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6, the Bible said, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that going forth with weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. That's still in the Bible. And that's still a responsibility to be a witness and to give out the word of God out of the little class that you teach, out of your church will come missionaries. There's folks on the mission field tonight that was called out under the ministry of a local church. And by the way, that's the way God operates, through a local church. God calls. I wouldn't give you 10 cents for any missionary that's not associated with a good local church. And so we come back out of the little class you taught. And so I'm not conscious of all that God's doing. I said before, but I had a young boy come to my church when I was in Tallahassee. No, when I was in Thomasville. He was from Pelham, Georgia, just up the road a few miles. And he came. His dad had just died. His mom, his younger brother and sister, all of them came to our service. But Dennis is the only one who stayed. And he was there until I left that church. And I hadn't heard from Dennis in years. But I found out later that God called Dennis to preach. And he went to Bible college and prepared himself. And for 20 years he spent as associate pastor in Charleston, South Carolina. Then he pastored up in Illinois. And then he pastored over in near Reidsville, North Carolina. And today he's on staff at Ambassador College. And that happened, and he said, not what I said, this is what he said. He said, only heaven will reveal how God dealt with my heart and molded my life in those days when I set up the ministry at Eastside Baptist Church. So my pastor said, I'd like for you to teach a Sunday school class. I said, Pastor, don't believe I could do that. He said, I believe you could. And he said, just try it. And so he picked out the meanest class in the Sunday school and gave me the seventh grade boys. And so I taught seventh grade. But can I tell you that one of those seventh grade boys has been on the mission field for over 25 years serving the God. You don't know the extent of what God will do through a faithful servant of the Lord. And you don't have to be a pastor or a preacher to get involved in serving God and doing something for the Lord. What are you doing? What are you doing in the matter of the building department to help build the church? Amen. So if everybody that's a member down at Calvary Baptist Tabernacle would purpose in their heart and pray that God would enable them to win one person to Christ before the year's out, we'd fill up some of the blank spots. Amen. But we don't want to be identified with easy believism. No, 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 no. And so we run off the ditch on the other side. And so we're not doing much of anything about reaching others for the Lord. I'm saying to you, listen, out of the little class you teach, God can call young men and young women. And out of your church, God will call missionaries and preachers. And I've had the joy of ordaining at least 10 different men in the ministry, and I'm grateful for that. And then the future will be, and the future will rejoice. It's not an easy road that we're traveling to heaven, but it is the right road. The future will rejoice. One day, the trumpet will sound. So we're not looking, are you listening? We're not looking for the undertaker. We're looking for the upper taker. We believe that Jesus can, and so one day, the trumpet will sound, and our Savior will return for his own. And that's spoken of as a blessed hope in the book of Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Then afterward there'll be the Bema seat where rewards will be given out and regrets will be experienced. The judgment seat of Christ, when many will be honored for their faithful servant. Now, could I say this? Be careful. The Lord did not say, well done, thou good and successful servant. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And if you're faithful in doing what, by the way, we're not comparing ministries. We know this, that we're all in the ministry. We're to serve God because we love him. And so we come back to this. Many will be honored for their faithful Christian service. However, many will be filled with remorse because of a wasted life, a life that's been misspent in the service of Christ. Will there be rejoicing over redemption? John wrote about it in Revelation 5 in verse number 9. His remarks of honor is by saying, well done. That will be worth all the heaviness. It'll be worth all the hard places. It'll be worth all the headaches, all the misunderstandings. I'm saying that we encountered on our way home. He will honor us further by presenting crowns of reward. The Bible speaks of crowns for the faithful service. I'm in churches where men have labored faithfully for years and years and years, and they probably don't run 25. You said, well, if they're not running more than that, they're out of the will of God. Be careful. There's no little churches in the sight of God. And so I can appreciate a man that's been faithful. He hasn't been lazy. He's done his best to reach people, and he still has just a handful. And by the way, we don't have bigger handfuls we used to have here. Hello? I wonder what happened. There wasn't a breakdown in heaven. There was some malfunction down here. And so he honors further by presenting crowns. Crowns for faithful service, crowns for soul winning, crowns for suffering, crowns for separation. And it'll be an honor by being a part of his personal reign. John, Revelation chapter 5, verse number 10. Our prayer should be, O God, our Father, are you listening? O God, our Father, help us to abide in our calling, the calling of service until you call us home. The Bible said, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. I want God to be glorified, but it's a special blessing to realize that what I'm doing, if I'm doing it with the right motive, I'm not doing it to get to preach again. I want to preach again, but I'm not doing it just to preach again. I'm not doing it to be seen of men. I'm doing what I do for the glory of God. So keep on passing out tracts. Keep on witnessing. Keep on praying. Keep on standing in your place, doing what you can for the glory of the Lord. It'll be worth it all. It will be worth it all when we see Christ. Would you bow with us in prayer? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.